Hi, everybody. Welcome to another podcast on Forsyth Sports 365. I'm Greg Golden. We're glad to have you with us. We are featuring the South Forsyth War Eagle football program as we do each and every week on this Coach's Corner. That means Doug Thomas is in the house. He's in the field house right now. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Greg. How are you doing? And yes, it's nice to be back on a Wednesday on site sitting next to Coach versus sitting at home and doing this. So glad to be back in a little bit.
Got Doug in the field house for sure. And with him, the head coach of the War Eagles, Troy Morris. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Glad to have you with us. Doug and Mike Newsom were on a call Friday night. And so I'm going to let Doug start this thing off this week. He's got a little bit of insight. Doug, go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. And man, it's nice for me to get to take it off and get it started. That's good. Coach, glad to be here as always. And obviously we started to kick the season off regular season against Lanier at Lanier on Friday night. Not the outcome we wanted. Ended up with a 37-20 loss to the team. But really, you know, I mean, when you look at the game, it was really tight, you know, in the first half right up until the end, and then even 19-13 at halftime. But before we get into details, I just maybe like you to give a recap, your thought on the game, you know, like after you've sat back and, you know, you've watched film and everything and kind of give your assessment, you know, from kind of start to finish.
Overall, I think that, you know, we looked for effort out of our kids, and we got that. We went back and watched the film, and we were happy with our effort. Our kids played really hard. A couple of things that we have to do to clean up, obviously the penalties, that was a big part. And just the overall outcome of the game, in my opinion, it killed us a couple of times, put us in some bad spots, gave them some first downs that were critical. So that was a big part of the game I was disappointed with on our end of it, because I didn't think they were – I thought they were penalties that just we got to clean up. And so that's been this week a big goal of ours, to make sure we get that cleaned up. And just execution-wise, I thought we executed pretty well for most of the night. We had some things, definitely some small things in there that we didn't do well. Had a couple turnovers that hurt us. Got to protect the football. Definitely some things we got to clean up from last Friday to this Friday. And one thing I've told the team, I've told the coaches, our goal this week is to be the most improved football team in the state of Georgia from week one to week two. I think we have a really good football team that, like I said, if we clean up those things, I think we have a chance to be pretty good.
You know, that's a great assessment of the game. And you know, let's just get right into the penalties. You're right. It was penalties are never good. They're never helpful. But they seemed to come right at some key times, right when Lanier had a drive that was ready to be stopped and our penalties kept him going. Now, from the booth, I really couldn't see what the dead ball personal fouls were. I don't know. Were they just shoving after the type thing or, you know, that kind of stuff? And it just, but you're right, they came at times that we definitely didn't need them.
Well, at the end of the day, we have to show self-control. You know, things can happen after the whistle, things like that, or during the game a ref may miss, that you just can't retaliate. And I think a couple of those were those type of things, and we have to be more disciplined in that aspect. Doesn't do any good. I mean, the guy across from, he's wearing $300, $400 worth of equipment. Doesn't do any good to come and attack him anyways. So our emphasis needs to be, you know, if something like that happens to you, ref misses or whatever, you know, beat him the next play within the rules of the game. And stay disciplined, because all that does is hurt our football team, and it hurt us a number of times last night. And we're better than that. Our kids know it. And we just have to control our emotions better, and we're going to. That's going to get fixed. I can promise you that.
Well, it's obviously, that's great to see that you know that it's being addressed and everything. And you're right. You know, when those type of things happen, how many times you see it's always the second guy that gets called because they don't see the first one and everything. So, you know, glad to see that's being addressed. And like you said, if you see improvement each week, and you know, then that's a big show of what you guys are working on.
This is a young team, Coach. You know, these guys are coming out. This is our first real game for a number of them. It's not an excuse, but certainly it lends itself to that kind of behavior. I expect to see more discipline in the next game, and I'm sure you do too. You're probably preaching that all week.
Well, you're going to see it. I guarantee you that. So you're right. We got a young team, but that's no excuse for the stuff that went on Friday night. And that part of the game, I guarantee, is going to get fixed.
I think you can tell that that's been addressed pretty heavy. And if I'm one of the players, I'm not going to do it this week. That's for sure. Looking at the game, what I'm curious is to maybe see what kind of adjustments Lanier made. Because when we started off, I mean, the running game seemed to be working really well. We saw Cole Yeager get some strong runs early on. I think he had maybe four rushes for 50 yards right off the bat. And outside, one thing that I did notice, too, was the blocking outside. And I'm not talking linemen. I'm talking about your running back or your wide receivers, the blocking. It was excellent, which is so important. But what did they do that kind of shut that down? Because then, we didn't seem to be able to get that out of Cole for the latter part of the game.
Well, I think one of the things that happened was, we came out and drove the ball really well. We had a penalty that backed us up, threw us off rhythm there and kind of got us out of our flow. And then we ended up hitting a field goal. And then they went down and we gave them multiple, I think there was three times we gave them first downs when we could have got off the field, and they ended up going down and scoring. And I think that boosted their confidence and thought they could play with us. And then their defensive play went up from there. And so I thought they played more physical after the first drive. They also, scheme-wise, they started cheating their outside linebackers in a little bit to help with the run. They knew that they were getting hurt there, so they did some things there too. But really, their front five, their three down linemen and two inside backers, they started playing more physical there, so they gained a little confidence. And that's what can happen. A team could come in and not be real sure if they can play with us or not, and then all of a sudden they score and things go their way, and they get a little confidence, and then, and then that's what you don't want to allow them to do. So it's so important. Like on that first drive, we need to go down there and score right out of the gate, get a touchdown, get off the field defense. We got chances to get off the field. And I think momentum carries a lot of weight. And, if I think if we take all that momentum in the first quarter there, I think that's a different ballgame.
Yeah. And, it's when you mentioned their team on the fronts, on the, the blind side, I mean, those down three that they had, they had some big guys, not only in defense, but the offense. And you're right. They seemed to start, taking control of that, and they didn't need to blitz as much and everything. And so really they did a good job there. So hats off to Lanier. They played a strong game and everything. And then, but one thing too, let's talk about, you mentioned the kick. Yeah. We made a field goal. I got that field goal. Let's just go ahead and talk about it. Davis Little, we know that was in the scrimmage. I don't care how one of them didn't count, because he really, to me, kicked a 56, a 51, 40, and 35 in the scrimmage. And then that first field goal was 57 yards, just drilled it. But I got to admit, moving on, right before half, that was exciting to see that ball down on the 50-yard line and that young man drilling a 60-yard field goal. And I want to tell you, even the Lanier people just went nuts when he made that, because that was so impressive. Or to kick a 57 and 60. But did you even have any hesitation lining up for that 60-yarder?
No, I didn't. I mean, that may sound dumb, but I believe in Davis that much. I believe in that unit that much. I see it at practice. That's the thing. If I hadn't seen it at practice, I may have some doubts. But I see what he does at practice. I've seen how hard he's been working, the stuff he's done through the summer. I'll keep saying I think he's the best in the state. And I didn't have any hesitation. I felt confident that he was going to at least give it a shot. And, as soon as he hit it, I thought that made Dane go. So it was exciting, man. Like I said, that's a huge weapon for us. And that's big. I mean, I thought it was huge to come out with points right there, get backed up. And, you're sitting there on the 43-yard line and you still come away with points on fourth down. I mean, that's pretty incredible. So proud of him, proud of that unit. And just to keep expecting big things out of him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you mentioned, and I want to get to Greg, because I know Greg's got some stats for the state and the county and stuff. I want him to go to. But you mentioned the whole unit. It's flawless right now. You look at the snap and snap the hold. It's just their timing is down perfect. It just, for some reason, it just looks so much better than it did last year. And that's a lot, it's a big part of it. I'm always a big proponent of the long snapper, and nothing can happen unless that ball gets back there. So Ben Blanton's getting it back there. Very good. Your holder's Lander Causey, right? And so perfect holds and everything. So hats off to that complete group on what they're doing there. And Greg, I know you looked up some, because that's a big one there. Some stats there. So won't you talk through what you have on that?
Yeah, Coach, I visited the Georgia High School Football History Association, and they've got statistics from, as far as I can tell, dating back 50, 60 years. So it's pretty reliable as far. And here's the other thing that made it reliable. I looked at running backs, and you remember, what's the kid's name? Tyler LaFlame, a couple of years ago, the South Forsyth legend. didn't.
Yeah, I remember. I called that game.
Yeah, he rushed for 454 yards in a game.
Let me tell you a crazy thing about that. Tyler didn't even hardly play in the first quarter that game. He'd always carried a few times and have to come out and throw up because his nerves or whatever. So he normally didn't play but three quarters of the game. So if he'd have played the first quarter, he may have had over 600 yards that game.
Yeah, that would have put him right on top of the list. But he is in the database, in that list. He's ranks number 7th all time in the state with that explosive game back a few years ago. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there to validate the statistics that I'm going to share with you. Davis Little's 60-yard field goal ties him for 5th all-time in the state of Georgia in field goals. He's tied with a kid named Ryan Fitzpatrick, who kicked for Colquitt County a few years ago. They both hit 60-yarders, so they're tied at 5th. Interestingly enough, they also have both hit 57-yarders, and that puts them tied at 15th. So Davis is tied with Fitzpatrick for 6th and for 15th, and they're the only two kickers to appear in the top 20 twice. So pretty historical kicks there for Davis on Friday night, both of them entering him into the record books. Something just to think about for future consideration, Fitzpatrick now is a rising senior kicker at Florida State. So if you want to project that onto Davis, he'll pretty much have his choice of where he wants to go. But I thought those are great statistics, and we appreciate the GHS FHA for bringing us a good look at that. You can look it up now, but it's probably not on there yet because those kicks are too fresh. They got to get in there and they got to add it to their database, but it's coming soon, and it's verifiable. So congratulations, well,
Greg,
Davis.
Did those you look to see what the record was?
The record was 67.
Holy cow.
The record was 67. It was set in 1999. I'd have to look it up. I'll put the list up again in the Coach's Corner thing if you want to chat. I'll put the whole top, the top 6-7 guys like I did before, so you can have a look at that. But yeah, 67 yards in 1999 is the record.
Did you happen to look what the tailwind was on that one? Because I'm thinking that's a long way. One thing though, is any idea what as far as the county, I'm sure as far as South Forsyth, that's a record. Cause
it absolutely is. I mean, if it's good for 6th place in the state and there's no other Forsyth County name above, included in it.
True.
It's obviously a Forsyth County record.
Yeah.
It's also a South Forsyth record. Nobody else is on the list ahead of them. So, you can consider those both Forsyth County and South Forsyth record as well, that 60-yarder.
Well, hats off to Davis Little and team, and hats off to you for, having the confidence to put that one in there. But, I think we got to get him out of that 5th-place tie at some point in the season. I don't know about you.
Let me add one more thing, Doug. He's getting some notoriety, too. You're familiar with the Georgia High School Football publication that's put out the daily, the Georgia High School Football Daily publication. I think you introduced me to that. And so I check into that every once in a while. And Davis actually earned a mention in that, too, in the big, Stars of the Week portion of his presentation. Davis' little 60-yard kick gets a mention in there, too. So he's earning a little bit of notoriety for it, and I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, that's good. Let's just hope he keeps it going. All right, a couple things, too, that happened. First half, the quarterback, Katie Acock got hurt. We didn't even see it. I mean, we obviously didn't see it. So maybe you can walk through what happened and how he's doing.
Yeah, one time when he scrambled out, a kid kind of grabbed him by the back of the head and kind of pulled his – I believe he pulled his head forward. And the way it just was described to me, it's almost like a whiplash effect. So he was showing some symptoms of a concussion at the time. So anytime it's something like that, that's, of course, the trainer's call and just being careful with him. The call was to keep him out in the second half, but he's fine. He's back. He got cleared. He went through the they do an impact test to you know, test to make sure all of everything's good. And he tested out well, so he's back at practice doing good. So he'll be back this Friday night. So yeah, he's good and healthy.
Good. And I will tell you, because what you know, like I said, when we found out and least noticed was when all of a sudden we see number 19 Walker Clark into the game, and you know, sophomore coming in the game in the second half. And you know, you had to be pretty impressed with that young man. I'll be honest with you, the way he started running, some of the hits he was taking. I made the comment. I said, Coach may want to figure out who the third string quarterback is, because he did. But that also showed how tough he was. But I tell you what, that young man, because I don't know how many reps that, you know, a backup really gets in practice, you know, all week long. But you obviously had him prepared. He's obviously prepared. But he did an outstanding job, I think, and didn't seem to have any, you know, like under the lights fright or anything. He just stepped right in and did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, we rep our second guy quite a bit to make sure he's ready. We've always done that, especially in our offense. We typically like to run our quarterbacks. We always try to make sure the second guy's prepared. Being a sophomore, you never know how they're going to react under the lights. And I think it was good for him in the scrimmage to get out there and just get a feel for that. You don't know what that feels like until you're actually there. And I think that in the scrimmage, when he got out there, I think it kind of overwhelmed him a little bit. We tried to calm him down, and the nerves got him a little bit. But in this one, I think because of the scrimmage, he knew what that was going to feel like. And he knew at halftime he was going, so he was able to get some throws in and get himself ready to go. Very proud that he was, you know, how composed he was. But yeah, his part of his game is how he runs it. And he's just a physical, very physical, athletic runner. And, I would really like for him to step out of bounds. If he doesn't have to take the hit sometimes, but when you're a running quarterback and that's part of your game, it's hard to change.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said there was one, I don't know what part of the game it was, but it was on the far side. And he could have stepped out a yard earlier. And I mean, he just plowed forward and took the hit. And I made the comment. I said, he just might want to move a yard earlier out of bounds and save himself. But no, he did a great job. And like I said, that shows hats off to you guys.
Doug, I remember that call too. When he made that, yeah. He put his head down. You compared him to Larry Zonka, I think.
Yeah.
In the initial hit. Hey, this also begs the question, Coach. Who is the third string quarterback?
Well, it's you know, Michael Misos is a junior for us, a junior quarterback, and he's been dealing with a shoulder deal. He had surgery on it last year. He's been in recovery this whole time, and it's just taken a long time to get him healthy. And he's actually gotten cleared this past week. He's just kind of working his way back into it. He'll play on the JV Thursday just to get him some snaps, to get him prepared. So going into the season, Michael was the number two. He did some 707 for us as well. Walker, the sophomore you guys saw on Friday, he actually plays some receiver too. He'll do some quarterback, some receiver. He's been the three this whole time. So right now, you know, until Michael gets healthy, and we'll see how all that pans out and how those two compete for that spot. But those two guys are kind of the two and the three, depending on if Mike's healthy and, you know, and what they look like throughout the week at practice, whenever they're competing.
But I tell you what, it has to be a good feeling to have that, you know, you have two solid guys as backups there to turn.
And let me just drop another name in here, because Ty Watkins' little brother,
Will.
Mm-hmm. Will Watkins, right? He led the Lakeside team to the stellar season. What year is he now? Is he a freshman now on the team?
He's a freshman. Yeah, he's
so
a freshman.
You don't want to push him too much, but I'm telling you what, there's something in line there, huh?
I tell you what, it's always nice to watch the freshmen and everything and see how they do. But yeah, to see what they have coming up and everything. So you are correct there. Hey, I'd like to move on to defense a little bit. I watched Coach Arnett. He was as animated on that sidelines as I've ever seen him. I mean, especially when you see somebody jump off side or the size of the penalties. But Lanier definitely did it. They seemed to, like you said, their confidence built. They built early on. They, you know, they really do them, but they, the quarterback and they had that the senior receiver, Chase Jamison, strong night. I think he had 130 yards on 8 receptions. But they also, when I say they rushed for big, they rushed for like 220 yards, but they had some big breakaways again at key times. Those big breakaways were almost like the equivalent to the penalties for us. Anything in particular on defense that you saw, anything on offense that they were doing that was allowing that to happen?
Well, I mean, a couple of those, you know, I think early on that first drive, you know, Danny Bolaños gets called for a pass interference call. You know, I just didn't think it was a good call that gave him a drive there. I thought Danny had great coverage on him. But some of those, I mean, the quarterback, one time we're literally hitting the guys. He's throwing on third and long, and he just makes a great throw. We're right on him. We're in great coverage. He just puts it dead on the money to pick up the conversion there. You know, we had maybe one or two, I feel like, where, you know, we may have gotten beat in coverage. But overall, I thought we were there a lot of the night. Dash at corner got called one time, and I didn't, you know, looking at the film now, the guy just kind of stumbled, and Dash gets called there. That stuff like that happens. We just want our kids to keep playing and, you know, don't get discouraged by that. You just got to have a short memory and go to the next play. But yeah, they made a few plays on third down, but I think that once again, if you give them chances, you jump off sides on third down, you know, you have a late hit or a push after the play, things like that. That just helps them build confidence. So we're going to clean that kind of stuff up. Like I said, we're going to keep playing hard. And then those plays, those close plays were, you know, we have good coverage, things like that. Those are going to start going our way.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I think, you know, I know from my side watching, I'm sure from the coach staff, and you mentioned it from the beginning, watching, you know, the improvement from week one to week two is such a big deal. Now, if all of a sudden we're having the same conversation next week with penalties and stuff, you're not going to be a happy guy and practices aren't going to be fun. But I certainly don't expect that at all. I one thing I did forget to mention on offense, I want to go back. I want to talk about Cade Jackie. The first half, really non-existent. But the second half, I mean, really a lot of play. And while I will admit I couldn't see very close, I had a wall in front of me, but that pass deep down the left side that was like with, to the 2 or 3 yard line, it looked from my binoculars, he got his foot in, but I couldn't tell. What did that look like from the film?
Well, in the film, it's hard to tell too. Honestly, yeah. He taps 1 foot, which is all you have to have in high school. But from the angle from the film, you can't tell if it's in or out. It's really, really close. You can't tell if there's any green in between his foot and the sideline there. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a heck of a catch, no matter what.
Heck of a catch.
Yeah.
He's a special player, and we just got to get him the football and let him do his thing.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing is, you know, hopefully we can get him involved earlier and everything. The second half, he did a good job and as well. And I know he took some tough hits there in the second. He was a tough young man. But anyway, so let's move on. We have Harrison coming in. Nice. Well, like you said, we're home for a while now, which is great. And so so obviously you're now able to have one game of film. I don't know if you probably have scrimmage film on them too. So you have actually, but one actual game of film on them. They won their game against, I think, South Paulding last week. And so talk a little about them, what you expect.
Yeah. Defensively, they're actually going to be very similar to Lanier. They're going to run a 3-4 on defense. They'll bring a lot of pressure. They'll run some man coverage. They'll run some cover 2, a little bit of 4. And then on offense, they're not a traditional wing T team. You know, most of the time they're in the gun, but running wing T teams, wing T plays out of it. The quarterback can throw it. He can run a little bit. Doesn't really like to run it a lot, at least on, like I said, we're going off of a game and a scrimmage. So you never know. Guys can change after just one game, but he can throw it. Excuse me. He can run it. He's not a big runner. He throws it well. He's got a big receiver that is a very good player. We got to make sure that we keep him in check. And then special teams, they have a good kicker as well. He hit a 49-yarder last week. So their special teams unit is good. You know, their kicker's able to kick it in the end zone. But we feel good about it. We just got to go out and play good football, and it's going to be a good high school football game. And like I said, they're well-coached, and they play hard, and they do a lot of good things. But once again, we're telling our kids it really isn't about who we play as much as it's about us just playing like we're capable of playing, being smart. Make the easy things easy, execute, play hard, do all of that, and the score takes care of itself.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and, you know, that's absolutely – when I look at offenses like Harrison coming in, and you talk about they're in the gun, but they run a wing tee track. That's a deception offense to me. I mean, you got to really focus on where that ball is going and everything, which – so it should be – it's going to be exciting, obviously, being back home for game one. Let's talk about the heat. You guys are obviously practicing in the morning because this is one of the hottest weeks that we've seen. And also coming into the game, what do you do, and what's Miss Diane, our trainer, do to help, you know, because obviously cramps are such a huge part of this time of the year and everything. What kind of things do you guys do to help, you know, alleviate that and maybe reduce those during the games?
Yeah, we're actually taking a little bit of a different strategy this week, and as early as it is in the season, as hot as it is, with some of our players, we're trying to decrease their snaps or their load early in the game. So it's going to be a little bit of a sacrifice for some of our guys, because some of our guys are used to playing on both sides a lot. So early in their game, we're going to try to the best we can to limit them to one side, at least early, to make sure that their number of snaps don't go up too high. So that way later in the game, we got them. I think that we probably Some of our guys probably played too many snaps the other night and you know, started cramping because of it. Some of the guys cramped and they didn't get that many snaps, so because it was so humid and hot out there. But we're going to do what we can as a staff to just try to lighten the load a little bit on some of these guys, especially early in the season here, just because of how hot it is. Plus, that'll give some other guys chances to get out there and be seen, especially, like I said, early in the game when it's a little bit warmer. But on Mondays, our varsity guys are typically just in helmets. We were able to get out Monday in the afternoon, and then, like I said, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we're in the morning, so it doesn't really affect us too much.
Yeah. Well, it'll be exciting, and that's good to see, because there's no doubt this type of year you'll see a lot of cramps. I mean, I watched them at the middle school game last night. They're just all over the place. There's a lot of football going on this week for South. So everybody knows, obviously, we have the varsity game Friday night here, but we have the JV kicks off here on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Can't remember. I cannot remember their play. And then the freshmen, and if they play Dawson County is the JV, and the freshmen are playing. Who do they play?
JV's at home against
Dawson. JV's, and that freshman's away. So if you want a lot of football, you can watch JV here at Thursday night at 6, or you can go to Dawson County and watch the freshman team. But it's all started now, and a lot of football going on. So it's exciting. After games like last week, I'm sure you do. You just look forward to getting through this week and getting that one by you. And the one thing is, you can't do anything about what's happened in the past. You can only work on what's going on. It certainly sounds like you've got everything focused on improvement and making everything better.
Well, and what I told the guys even before the game, that game, we have three starters that came back from last year's team on defense and three on offense. Mm-hmm. We told those guys before the game, this has no playoff implications. This has no bearing on the region championships, things like that. It's important. We want to win always. But the main goal here is to get better every single week. Let's get better. Focus on us. Get better every week. So that by the time we hit region, we're clicking on all cylinders. That's the big thing.
You know, and I was always like, you know, because I can't remember what point, you know, because, you know, used to have like, at some point, you know, region games were mixed in. And then all of a sudden it went. So they're all at the end. And at first I wasn't a proponent of that. I thought, I don't really like that. But I agree now. Yeah, these games here, like you said, you want to win them all. They're good for state rankings and recognition and everything. But it's when you hit that first region game, I believe it's against Milton, or when we finally do it, and you're ready for that part of the season. So as long as you can keep improving there and be ready for that, we'll be good to go. Well, it's exciting. I think, Greg, you will be here, I believe, on Friday night on the call to start at 7 o'clock. And we're just excited to get everything at home and getting it going.
Hey, Doug, you mentioned the slew of home games this year. And Coach, I don't know that I've ever asked you anything. On the business end of things, you've got three or four more home games than last year. Is that going to affect your bottom line? How does that help out a high school program, the gate?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you have a home game, you know, you get the ticket sales, you get the concessions, all those things go into, you know, making a little bit of money for your school, your athletic department, the band, everybody. You got jersey sales, apparel sales, things like that. You know, you don't have to pay for buses. You know, financially, it's definitely a benefit at home. However, you do have other costs that take away from it. So you have referees costs, things like that. So at the end of the day, I think you probably do make some money whenever you're at home. I know as a head coach, when it comes to the travel, I know last year we had to pay for all of the charter buses and deal with all of that logistical, all those logistical things that you don't have to worry about whenever you're at home. So there's some benefits to it for sure. You know, playing wise, I think there's huge benefits to it in front of your home crowd. But financially, I don't know what the exact numbers would be, but a lot of it depends on the crowd size too, how many tickets you actually do sell. If you sell a whole bunch, you got a chance to make a lot more money.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Greg, from our side too, from a board side and everything, is there's a lot more that have to take care of. You got, because, you know, we have Eagles Nest dinners for all of our members and everything, so those are more that you have to take care of, and everything. So there's definitely a lot more. It's more exciting being at home for sure. But definitely a lot more work with seven games than there is before. So, but this will be the last year of that, and I'm sure we'll be split back even next year coming up.
All right, guys, great job today. I really appreciate it, Doug and Coach. You have a great relationship, and it comes through every time we do one of these coaches' corners. So, thank you both very much for your time today. We've got a game for you Friday night. Make sure you tune in. I'm also gonna put that little clip of Davis' 60-yard field goal. I'm going to add that as a separate piece here so y'all can go listen to that. Your call on that Doug, you and Mike, when he hit it, your reaction was hilarious. So I can't wait to get this clip on the air so people can enjoy that. So tune in Friday night, 7 p.m. is broadcast time, 7:30 is kickoff, as Harrison visits War Eagle Stadium. We'll have it for you right here on ForsythSports365.com. See you then.